You are listening to a podcast by the Holocaust Memorial Day Trust. The views expressed in this podcast are those of the individual contributor and not necessarily those of HMDT.
Monica Porter is the daughter of Vali Ratz, an exceptional and courageous woman who risked her life to save Jews in Hungary during the Second World War. Monica, can you tell me a little bit about Vali's family and her childhood?
Yes, my mother grew up in a small farming village in rural Hungary, southwestern Hungary, and her father was the headmaster of the village school. He was very strict. They're very Catholic, very pious Catholic family. And she spent her early childhood there. She was sent off when she was a little older to a convent school. And she was a very talented singer, and this became obvious at a fairly early age. Her father, my grandfather, was also a very good singer, but he was never really able to follow a career in music, and I think perhaps he slightly regretted that. So when my mother grew up and she expressed an interest in becoming a singer, I think that my grandfather felt he could perhaps enjoy some vicarious musical success through his daughter.
And can you tell me a little bit more about Vali's varied and successful career?
Yes, she went from this little village. She went to Budapest to study at the Academy of Music there, a very highly regarded academy where Franz Liszt also studied and taught, I think. And she trained to be a singer. She was very, very good. She when she graduated, she wanted to go into popular music, into sort of light music. She didn't want to be a classical singer or an opera singer. Her voice seemed to lend itself very well to light popular singing, but she had a very good trained voice. So it didn't take long before she was sort of talent spotted and began to appear on stage. And in fact, she made her first film in which she played a small part in which she played a singer, and she sang a song in this film. And I think at that point she was about perhaps 24 or 25 years old. So she began her film career quite early, and then the rest of it all followed. The recording, she recorded many records. A lot of the very well-known, celebrated songwriters wrote music for her, wrote songs specifically for her. And in most of her movies, she played a singer, and she had usually some spot in the movie where she would be performing, where she'd be singing. And she was very glamorous. She was considered by many people to be the Hungarian Marlene Dietrich. So this very, very sultry, glamorous, beautiful type of actress and singer. And during the war, when Hungary entered the war, unfortunately on the wrong side, she became a pinup for the Hungarian soldiers that were fighting and dying in great numbers on the Eastern Front. So she got hundreds and hundreds of fan letters from these soldiers. In fact, she once showed me a whole big stack of them, which she had always kept.
And so your mother helped many Jews during the Second World War. Can you tell me a little bit about how she helped them?
Yes, in the world of music and films and theatre, which my mother moved in, there were a lot of Jews. I mean, Jews have traditionally been very active in the creative arts, and so she knew very many of them. They were friends, they were colleagues. Some of them were her mentors who had helped her in her career. So when the Nazis came into Hungary in 1944, of course, all of these people their lives were immediately threatened. With deportations, with being ghettoized, so they were all threatened, and my mother at first didn't really know what she could do, what she'd be in a position to do to help them. But a few people came to her and asked her for help, and so she was able to sort of think of some way in which she could keep a handful of people. I mean, she couldn't help a huge number of people. She was only just one person. But she, in her home, in her villa in the Buda side of Budapest, she did have enough room that she could accommodate a few people. And there were actually five Jewish people, and a little bit later, a non-Jewish man who was a young soldier who had deserted from the army and who also would have been killed if he'd been found. And so there were these six fugitives who she was able to hide in her home. They were able to sleep in the basement, but during the daytime they could move around in the house as long as no one saw them, so they couldn't go out of the house. They're basically they were kind of trapped in this house, but it did mean that they were able to escape from the Gestapo and the Nazis and also the Hungarian Arrow Cross, who were just as bad, and were also persecuting and killing Jews. She also had devised a very, very clever hiding place where they would be able to remain undetected should there be a raid on the house. And this was always a possibility that she would be suspected and the secret police would come and raid the house. And then if anyone was found there, of course, I mean, everyone would be carted off to Auschwitz or imprisoned or killed. I mean, it would have been very, very dangerous for them all. So she had a false partition wall built into a very large wardrobe that she had in her bedroom. It was a sort of double-sized wardrobe because it was built to accommodate big sort of stage dresses and stage costumes. So she had a wall built into it which basically partitioned it in half, and behind this false wall you could fit a number of people standing quite close together, but they would be able to remain undetected as long as they didn't make any noise. And one day, of course, this most dreaded raid did actually occur. And while they took my mother away, this is the Hungarian secret police, and imprisoned her, all of the Jews who were hiding in her house did actually escape. And this clever hiding place did did do the trick, yeah.
Can you tell me about any other tactics that Vali used to keep everyone hidden, how she may have fed people, how she kept everybody safe?
Well, apart from the fact that obviously they had to not be sure that they weren't seen by anyone, by neighbors or anyone who might have come to the house, there was, of course, the feeding problem was very difficult because as the war progressed and sort of infrastructure in Budapest and in the country kind of began to fall apart, it became more and more difficult to get food. My mother I think she traveled on a few occasions, if she was able to, take a train down to the village where her parents lived and was able to bring back some food from them. I mean, they were, you know, living in a farming community, so they had better access perhaps to food. So on a few occasions, I think she was able to go down there and bring some food back. But that, again, also became more and more difficult as time went on. And, of course, you couldn't just go out and buy enough food for eight people if there was supposed to be only two or three people in the house, because that would have immediately looked very suspicious. So it was a very difficult thing, and I don't think that they had a great deal to eat, but nevertheless, they had enough. Some way or another, my mother was able to organize it.
Trying to find enough food for everyone and keeping everyone secret in such difficult circumstances must have been exhausting. Yet from the book Deadly Carousel, you felt that giving up was never an option for Vali. Would you say that this is right?
Yes, my mother, although she was brought up in a very religious home and she was educated in a convent, I can't actually say that she was a very religious person herself, a very devout Catholic. I can't say that. But what she did have was a great sense of compassion for people, a great sort of humanity, and very much someone who would always try to help the underdog. And in this case, of course, the Jews very much were the underdogs. So she had that sense of yeah, of just compassion, of humanity. And it didn't, I don't think, you know, as I say, that I don't think it directly came from her religious beliefs, but I think that somewhere underneath it all was the, you know, do unto others as you would have others do unto you, and whether it was in a religious sense or purely in a sort of moral sense. I don't know where the dividing line is, but she was very much was a person like that who couldn't stand by and just watch people being hounded and you know, deported and murdered. And so, yeah, she would always do what she could.
Vali was arrested in November 1944. Can you tell us a little bit more about what happened there?
Yes, they took her away to a truly terrible place. This was it had been a hotel high up in the mountains, in the Buddha side of the city, very mountainous, sort of forested mountain. So they took her to this place which they had, the secret police in Hungary had taken over as used as a prison. So they turned this hotel into a prison, and it was mainly filled with a lot of Jewish prisoners. But they took her there, and they didn't actually torture her, but they were torturing other people very frequently. And my mother heard the screams, and she was absolutely just horrified being in this place and in a sort of sleeping in a very crowded room. They kept interrogating her and to try to get her to confess to the fact that she'd been hiding Jews in her home, and she never did. She never broke, or they couldn't break her in that way. They tried to set some traps for her, sort of putting her together with someone who they thought would recognize her, and so give away what she'd been doing. That actually the son of one of the women who is hiding in her house, but because she'd never seen the son and the son had never seen her, they didn't recognize each other. So that ruse failed. But they also put a woman together with her to befriend her in this prison, in this room where they were incarcerated. And she was a sort of plant. She was there pretending to be another prisoner, but in fact she was working for the secret police and tried to get my mother to confide in her. But again, my mother didn't do that. So in the end, they couldn't actually prove anything. And because my mother had... She was in a way protected by her very great reputation as a very popular singer. So they couldn't prove anything, and they were a little bit reluctant to sort of do away with her without any solid proof. So they weren't quite sure what to do with her. And then in the end, after I think about 2 weeks, my mother's very influential friend on the outside, who is a film director with whom she had worked quite closely, and who was working for the Hungarian resistance, secretly, of course, he used his influence to have her released. And in the end, the police chief, who was a very brutal and rather merciless man, just on a whim, basically said, okay, all right, that's right, she can go. But just tell her she better not do anything like that ever again. So that's how she finally managed to leave that horrible place. And although she had been very strong and very composed during her incarceration, as soon as she was actually brought back to her own house, she completely had a sort of collapse. And she, it was a kind of nervous collapse, I think, after having been strong for all that time. I think she just, it was just got a bit too much. And so emotionally, I think at that point she was... in a very, very low ebb, but she did survive because she's nothing if not a sort of born survivor, my mother.
Vali was arrested in March 1945 by the newly established council and accused of being a Nazi collaborator. Can you tell me what happened?
Yeah, this is what the great sort of enormous irony in her story, that she who had risked her life for a period of 8 months hiding these fugitives in her home, was then later accused of having been a Nazi collaborator by actually a Jewish council. It was very ironic. And she, there was no way that she could prove to them what she had done, because, of course, those Jews that she'd been hiding in her home, by then, of course, they were long gone, and she had no idea how she could get hold of them, where they were. There were no communications in Budapest at the time, so it would have been impossible for her to just say, I'm far from being a collaborator, I actually saved Jewish lives, because how would she prove it? They just knew, these Jewish former partisans, who then became, you know, formed a sort of communist council in this part of Budapest. They assumed that they just thought she had to have been a collaborator, because they had seen certain things happening which to them seemed suspicious. For example, she was fraternizing with some German officers. And it's true that she did socialize with some German Nazi officers. For one thing, if they come and want to take you out for dinner, it's probably a good idea to go along with them, because it would give it would mean that she couldn't possibly be doing anything against the Nazis or harboring Jews or anything like that, because, you know, she was openly seen to be friendly with them. So this actually was something she did for her own protection. But then later, to try to explain that to them was very, very difficult. So they just decided, and, you know, they're very, very, at that point, thirsty for revenge, which, of course, we could understand, but they didn't seem to take too much care about actually proving someone's guilt before they would exact revenge on them. So they had decided that they're going to execute my mother. And my mother had pretty much given up hope that she would be able to avoid this fate, and was, in fact, receiving the last rites from her priest, when suddenly a rescue came in an amazing and unusual form. My mother, who, as I said, was a very attractive, very beautiful woman, very glamorous. Of course, she never had any problem. She never had any problem having male admirers. One of these admirers was a Red Army Russian colonel, who had been billeted in her house during that period when the Russians were fighting the Germans for control of Budapest. The siege of Budapest went on for quite a while. And so this colonel was billeted at her house, and they had a little affair. He then later left because he went with his troops to fight in a different arena of war, in Bulgaria. But as it happened, just at the point when my mother was due to be executed, he was making his way back to Budapest on his way to Berlin, which was, of course, the final great push to Berlin against the Nazis. And he happened to be passing through Budapest on that day. And when he came to my mother's house to see her and found her receiving the last rites from her priest, he demanded to know what was going on. And when she explained and told him that, you know, there was nothing she could do, that they had assumed she was guilty and she was going to be shot, he immediately took matters into his own hands. And, of course, to a committee of these Hungarian Jewish communists, a Red Army colonel held a lot of sway, so the colonel was able to actually save her life, because, of course, he had huge authority and he had all the contacts able to get this execution order annulled.
Before you wrote Deadly Carousel, how much did you know about your mother's courageous efforts as you were growing up?
Well, I didn't know very much about them at all when I was growing up. My mother, I knew that she'd been a celebrated singer and had made records and films, and I knew about that, but I didn't know what she had done in terms of saving Jewish lives. She never spoke about it, and I think that was probably because there were very, very painful memories to her, what happened during the war. And she put it all behind her. So it was nothing that she ever spoke about to me. And in fact, it wasn't until I had grown up, I was in my sort of late 20s. I already had, by then I was married and I had a small child myself. And I was back in Budapest on a sort of family visit with my mother, and we were staying in her house, which she still managed to hold on to. It was being lived in by some of her relatives, but we went there to stay, and I spent about a month there. And at one point, I sort of was going down into the basement, and my mother just said a throwaway line, something to the effect of, "Yes, that's where the Jews were hiding during the war." And I just said, "What? What are you talking about?" And so basically the whole story of what happened to her during the war, what she did during the Nazi occupation, began to come out. And I began to be very, very interested in it, of course, because being a journalist, I thought, well, here's an incredibly good story, which I think I might want to write up one day. And eventually I did.
In 1992, your mother was awarded the title Righteous Among the Nations. Can you tell me about this and how she felt to receive?
Yeah, I think that the one thing that I'm most proud of having written is the book about my mother, because it led to her receiving this honor. It got to the attention of the authorities at Yad Vashem, and they looked into her story, and they took depositions from some of the people who my mother had saved at that time were still alive. And some of them were even living in Israel. So they took the depositions and proved her story, and ultimately gave her this award. And we went there together for the ceremony when they unveiled her her plaque on what they call the honor wall. And she was very, very moved. And some of the people who she had saved and their family members were there also at this occasion. So it was extremely moving. I thought that this recognition for what she had done came very, very late. I mean, it was almost, you know, almost half a century after what she had done. But of course, better to be recognized for it late in life and a few years before she died than not at all. And as I say, you know, I was always very, found it, you know, very fulfilling that I was able to bring it about through writing the book.
If there was one lesson that could be learned by young people of today from Vali's experiences, what do you think she would have wanted that to be?
Well, I think probably the sort of more evident message, which is that we have to act on our instincts to try to help those who need our help, even if it's at the risk of our own safety. In a way, I think my mother tried probably not to think about the ramifications, what would happen to her if she'd been captured. I mean, obviously she would have been killed if she'd been actually caught. You know, if they'd been able to prove that she had been hiding the Jews rather than just suspecting her of it, of course she would have been killed. And it was a very, very grave risk and a grave danger. But unless people do decide that they can help, that they will get involved despite the dangers, it's only just going to be about every man for himself. And that's that would be a very tragic way for the human race to live.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by the Holocaust Memorial Day Trust. You can find more resources and information at www.hmd.org.uk.